Right, we are live on BBS Radio. Thank you to those people who are joining in through BBS Radio. We still have more people joining in. I heard you, Don, from Brexel. Thanks for being here. And then I heard Tennessee.
Did you hear me, hi?
I hear you now. Who's this?
Lisa.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And then welcome to the next person. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Carrie.
Good evening, Rock.
Good evening. Am I seeing an echo on there?
You have all the lines open, so hold on a moment, Terry. Thank you for being here, Terry. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right.
Terry, what phone are you using now? Is that the new one that I got?
I'm using the new one that you bought me.
Yeah, use the good one.
Try plugging in the other one. I think the other one might actually sound better.
And we had someone else join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
That's Stephen Flagstaff.
How you doing?
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
And there's Marilyn. Good evening, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Pennsylvania represented.
Sure is.
Do we have Marilyn from Michigan?
Who's it from Michigan?
No, I said, do we have Marilyn from Michigan?
We have two Marilyns. We have the Marilyn from Oxford.
I'm here in Michigan.
Woohoo!
Marilyn from Michigan is here.
Okay, Oxford.
That sounds like a song.
All right. Have we had too many? Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Please say information.
All right, this is Michael.
Good evening,
Michael.
Hi, who's in the background?
That was Marilyn.
Marilyn. Oh, great. I'm keeping up with your Facebook.
Okay.
And I think we had more people joining in here in the last. Please say your name and location. Two more people joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Karen, Diamond Bar, California.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. And more
Thank
people,
you.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Pushing you down into the bed. And I started, remember any of that. So that's kind of unusual. I think it's every...
Terry, are you there, Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you switch phones?
I did. Does it sound better now?
Yes, to me it sounds better.
Yeah, and the sound's better here, too.
Okay, that phone is better. That's all. Okay.
Now, you have been advised by Don to move your microphone about 2 to 3 inches away from your mouth, Terry.
I need to figure out how to do that.
Brute force.
I'll put it up by my nose.
No, just put your four.
And we
four
had somebody else join
together.
In. Please say your name and location. Well, thank you for being here.
Actually, Terry,
I dropped out, but I came back.
But he speak, but I couldn't copy it. Welcome to the next person. Please say your name and location. Kevin, I'm going to the thing.
All right, great.
Okay.
Terry, are you there, Terry?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but I'm. Could you move the phone away from your mouth?
But then I can't hear anybody if I move it away.
But can't you?
I think it's okay.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah, but I moved it away, and I can move the. I'll try and think of something.
Well, I'm not so sure you need to.
No, I think you sound good.
Yeah, I think you're sounding good. You can't believe everybody on this line, okay? All the time. But that microphone definitely has a unique sound. And it's kind of bassy. But it's good because your voice is kind of trebly. So it makes you more bassy, you know?
Okay.
So, that is, let's see here. we're going to start the recording, and we're going to hit the ground running today. It's 6:04.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 3rd, 2013, and this is our Monday night conference call, and we are going to continue tonight with one of the most interesting topics that we've had on these calls, which is how the universe was created. And this is Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and all of you everywhere that you are, and all of you on the internet, all of you listening to the replays, we give you a special warm greeting, and thank you for being here. So I thought I would just do a quick review, and I'm doing this from memory, of what we've come up with thus far. And it is really fascinating because I think it's quite rare to be talking to the Elohim in a public way and having a carte blanche to ask these kinds of questions and getting answers from the source that says they created the universe. And, of course, it's not exactly like, let there be light and let there be, how does it say it in the Bible? Terry, how does the Bible say it was all created? I think the Bible just talks about Earth, not necessarily the entire universe. And there's aspects of this that I don't quite understand. I get a little hit of intuition on it, but I can't get it all the way, and I don't know, maybe a physicist or a quantum physicist might get it. But the way it all started was there was chaos, and chaos got to be aware of itself. And that is a mystery right there that no one has been able to explain in any questions. How did chaos become aware? But it did. And once it was aware, it didn't think of itself as God. It didn't think of itself as the one infinite creator. It was a consciousness that was aware that it existed. And it was lonely. There was no other consciousnesses there. And so in another mystery, this first awareness developed the ability to divide itself or to clone itself or to become like an amoeba creating two where there was one. And the original two had awareness of, and they also knew they were part of the first awareness. And this process kept going to where there were millions of awarenesses. And it's hard to imagine what it felt like because they didn't have bodies. They were just energies that were aware. And on some way or another, they would evolve and interact with each other. But they were all aware. Not only were they aware, but they were aware that they were all holding the same energy subdivided. And there was no persistence. Everything existed in the moment. And as soon as an awareness would drop something, it would just go away. It would disappear. Nothing would exist for long periods of time. And of course, one element here is with awareness, to be aware, there has to be the beginning of time. Because awareness means that there's a before and an after, and you can see the flow from before to after. And so there was the beginning of some kind of time in these first awarenesses. Now, these awarenesses could vibrate and generate frequencies. And again, beyond my understanding to know how that worked, but that's how it was explained. What is a frequency? It was something that moves back and forth, back and forth. You know, when you hear a tone, that's a frequency. A radio signal is a frequency. And different frequencies have different characteristics. Even light is a frequency. So these original awarenesses could create frequencies, and they could project the frequencies, and they were experimenting. They were learning, and that when there were, I think I've got this right, they'll correct me, when there were a few of them projecting frequencies in the same place, there's something called nodes that would be created. And if you know about physics, you know about the Doppler effect, which means when you put two frequencies together, you get new frequencies generated that are different than the two frequencies. You get the summation of them and the subtraction of them. So, for example, if you had 5 cycles per second and 2 cycles per second, then you would get 7 cycles per second and 3 cycles per second, as well as the original ones. And those are called harmonics. Well, when the frequencies would come together, it would create a point in time-space that didn't exist. And, of course, there's a generation of time that's happening that's connected with the putting of these frequencies together. And that was essentially the first physical instance of physicality. And all of these original subdivisions of the original awareness are, if we have it right, the Elohim. And they were having fun with this new idea of creating frequencies and creating physical reality and spinning out galaxies and planets. And the way it felt when they were explaining it is as if they were creating this, and it was all, wow, look at that. It was almost like somewhat of a fish tank, that they were observing the creation. And I think that part of them had to be held in the frequencies that were created. I think so. So this kept evolving, and then there were planets, there were stars, and each part of the universe, each aspect of it, was given free will. It had an energy field around it, and it could create its own rules and laws. And basically, I could see the Elohim didn't want to supervise this. They didn't want to be the boss. They wanted it to all evolve, and it did. And each subset of the universe, from the galaxies to the solar systems to the suns to the planets to the humans, there was a free will projection saying you can create the rules around your existence. And then if there were a bunch of beings on a given planet, they would be within the context of the rules of that planet, that that planet created. And there was a lot of experimentation that was going on, and one of the things was the development of DNA. And DNA, as I understood it, was part of life forms that could hold an imprint of the entire universe, a microcosm that would hold the imprint of the universe. But in each, the DNA had to be programmed. And as it was programmed, it would become individuated in a certain way. So it had the potential to hold the universe, but more than likely, it was in a much more contracted space. And then there were different beings that were growing through all of this, and different planets with different beings, and the Elohim had the goal of creating a, what's the word? A process where the beings, at least the men beings, the human type beings, and I say human, I don't mean human beings here because I could mean other planetary populations as well, would grow into the experience of all that is, which sometimes is called going to Godhead in this realm. And that part of the way this experience would be generated would be through the evolution of DNA. So a being who was in a contracted DNA space could keep expanding through the universe to be an expanded DNA space. And this is all going on, and it keeps getting more complicated and more complicated. And there were a couple things that happened that they learned by observation. One of the things was, when there was a planet, solar system, that created the rules around that solar system, where everything was easy, the beings in that solar system would not evolve very quickly. In fact, they just stayed there and enjoyed their existence. And this was according to the Ra group. They just were having fun, but never evolved. It would be like the child of a rich person who had a privileged life. They have a lot of fun in their life, but they may never evolve into greater awareness or wisdom because they don't have any challenges. So there was an idea to create more of a pressure cooker down here and bring in the element of duality or negativity. And it was coming about as a natural outgrowth. And what that meant, as you all know, is to be in an environment where there's positive and negative, and it becomes a pressure cooker. It becomes, can you master that, or does it master you? And of course, we're in that pressure cooker. Another element that seemed to come about in this evolutionary process is that Elohim souls would then come into this realm, and they could occupy, I don't know if they built bodies for themselves. We never asked that in particular. But they could occupy bodies. And they would have the experience of being in this realm. And then they could go back and forth. They could occupy bodies and go back to their celestial space. And apparently, they started getting stuck in bodies here. And part of what got them stuck was when they were occupying a body. Now, this is, I think I'm getting this right, and they're listening so they can correct me on this, on anything I'm saying. This is how I recall. We have like five or six awesome conversations through Terry on how they created the universe. And this is a summation, as I recall, of those things. But I recommend that you go into the Spirit Channel and do a search on how the Elohim created the universe and listen to those five or six things, because there's a lot of cellular triggers in understanding all of this. It's not just intellectual knowledge, because we're looking at how we, you and I, got to where we are now. And it's pretty much of a mystery for most people. And there's aspects of the mystery in the way that I'm talking about this that I don't think very few people have ever been exposed to. So the Elohim would start getting stuck in this realm, and they would get caught up in reincarnation. Now, you know, those of us who are saying we want to get out of this realm, then there's something here to be thought of, and that is, it was indicated that it was through sex that they got stuck. Now, does that mean you have to give up sex to get out? I don't think so. There's more to it than that, but sex can, you know, the path in can be the path out. And the key is the experience of the sexual experience, the personal experience, and how you can experience the law of one in the connection with another person, as opposed to using them and gratifying yourself. That's probably what gets you stuck. It's the experience of oneness that gets you unstuck. One way to get unstuck. So, the Elohim that got stuck in this realm, some of them, maybe all of them, and this is one I don't have the complete answer to, you might ask this tonight, forgot that they were Elohim. They were just another being caught in the reincarnational cycles of whatever planet they were on. And some of them apparently remembered. And the ones that remembered were able to do DNA manipulation. They had very advanced understanding of how DNA worked. And a lot of species in this realm got created, not by the celestial Elohim, but by the DNA manipulation of the terrestrial Elohim. And they were still stuck in this realm. And they were Elohim, and because they were Elohim, they had a lot of power. They had a lot of ability, a lot of leadership. And they found that they could get the other beings in this realm under their thumb. And that it was seemingly more fun to be in this realm when you had slaves, when you had possessions, when you had land, when you had sex when you wanted it. And so thus began the development of the negative in this realm from a seed state. And we're talking probably billions and billions of years that this was all evolving. Billions of years of our time. But from the Elohim time, it was like a flash. from, they probably can look at it from the very beginning till now, and they don't experience billions of years. They experience time differently. So now you have the beginning of the negative. Sometimes people, the negative elite, the control patterns, the enslavery patterns that are evolving in this realm. And it's because they're very advanced souls that have the ability to control other people. And sometimes when you look at politicians and you hear them talk, and regardless of what they're saying, many of them have a composure that you and I may not have. That's an indication that they come from this lineage. And so then there were attempts to break this realm out of all the slavery patterns that were developing. For example, Jesus would have been an attempt like that to bring, to bring the evolution potential to an individual person, regardless of their money, just as a new template that could be involved in the evolution of all the beings, the humans anyway, on this planet. And, of course, all of those other sources that were into controlling everybody, and believe me, this is going on right now. This is not in the past. All those sources that were controlling people were not happy with having someone come in who could change the path, because the people that would get out of their control pattern would be then free of that. You can't be controlled unless you allow it. And so I should mention that that biblically they talk about the fallen angels. And what I'm describing is the fallen angels, the Elohim souls that came into this realm, and instead of uplifting it, got into the pattern of controlling it. And what happened is these control patterns went up very, very high, not just in the physical human level, but in even energy levels at high places. And as Carla Ruckert often talks about, service to self, service to others. And, you know, sometimes to my way of thinking, she makes it too simple. She says, well, you just have a choice. Make service to self, service to others. And I don't think it's as simple as having a choice. You can start out with a choice, but there's a lot more to it than your willpower can enforce. For example, the service to self beings, in certain extent, didn't have the freedom to suddenly change, because what happened was they were getting energy from things below them, and they lost the ability to get energy from things above them, and they got stuck with this insatiable appetite for energy, and they didn't know how to get out of it. And when they stopped getting energy from what's below them, they would feel empty. They didn't know how to go to source and get energy. They had to get it from what's below them, which they had to work really hard Now they could evolve through dimensions just as well as service to others. But according to the Rod Group, they needed a 95% dedication to service the self. They had to manipulate everything around them so it would give them energy. And, you know, from their family to their whatever they did, and many of them went into what sometimes is black magic as ways of getting energy pointed towards them. And if they could get 95% pointed towards them, they could evolve through the dimensions. They couldn't evolve all the way. They'd have to switch at the top, but they could get very high. And at the higher levels of dimensions, there are very powerful service-to-self beings that are attempting and perhaps succeeding at programming all the levels underneath them, so that by this time it gets to this level, it's hard to figure out where it's coming from. But another interesting question that was answered in all of this was, where do souls come from? Where did you come from? How did souls originate? And I had that question for a long time because, you know, there's times on this planet where there are a few hundred thousand people and then we have 6 billion. How does that work? I think the way I asked the question was, is the Elohim creating souls for a new body? Do they have a soul creation machine? And the answer was no. The process was automated, so to speak. And the way it worked was the DNA, in the way it was programmed, would attract energy out of the light pool of energy, and it would form the energy around the DNA. And that forming of the energy around the DNA became an individuated soul. And then when that physical body died, the individuated energy that was created around that DNA for the first time would continue. It didn't die. It stayed, and it had awareness, and it would look for another body. And then we'd have this reincarnation aspect, and it was trying to learn from going from one body to the next to the next. And this is about as a quick summary, about as far as I got, and I'm sure there's more information in the archives. Terry, do you remember any of that? Hello, Terry?
Yes. Could you repeat that last sentence?
By the way, you're very clear now. I said you were in a trance. I don't even know if you remember all of that stuff. But does that sound... Do I have that fairly on target?
Could you say a short sentence?
You know what? Forget it.
No, because I was in trance, but I'm...
Well, you know what?
I'm here now.
Why don't I ask them? Because they just told, you know, for the last 15 minutes, I was kind of doing a review of all of those calls we did on how the Elohim created the universe. And I was just asking you if you have anything to add to that from your human memory. But maybe, you know, you weren't listening really attentively because you're already going out. So
yeah,
we can just move right to them and let them correct it and ask some more questions, okay?
All right.
About this process of
All right.
the creation and the evolution of the universe. Okay?
All right.
And let me call in the light. And we'll see how this goes, because maybe we'll do another one and let some of you send in some questions. This is an incredible topic. I mean, if you realize that, you know, the foundation of almost every religion has this idea of how the universe was created, and there was this God form that said, let there be light, and this might be the actual explanation for how it worked, how it works. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources, our Elohim source, and Ra, if they have something to contribute, to just make any comments to the review I just did, or corrections. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. We are joyful to be with you. This is the 3rd of June, 2013, and we love this topic because it is a topic that is dear to us. Before the creation of the universe, the tenets were set up whereby, and you might call them even rules, where energies could follow and could form. And these are of the highest nature, is they set the guidelines for the creation. And the Elohim, us, and other groups were of a lower nature in working with guidelines that had been set up of the nature of the all that is. One of the major things was that the all that is started out as one being, so that when it began to divide, it began to have to learn lessons of love, of sharing. And how in the benefits of being aware and having another to shine off of, then the two of them could know of their own existence. So as things develop, individuals began on a long track. Awareness is to start, and then to have experiences, to become aware of another, so that awareness has part of it something to be aware of. If you don't have anything to be aware of, then there is nothing. But when you have two, now you have something to be aware of and to be aware of you. And so it has been a great expansion of getting the one being getting to know itself. There were the guidelines, as we mentioned, set up on the division of entities, the mathematics that went into the development of focusing mechanisms, the mathematics that went into the creation of vibration, in a sense it is a musical universe where everything has a frequency and a vibration, and this is part of the development of being to be put together according to different vibrational frequencies that then work together to form a life form. Do you have further questions?
Were these vibrational frequencies, how did they know what the outcome was? Was it experimentation, or could they formulate in their mind, if we do this, this will happen?
It was beyond mind. Its mind was developed as time went along. It was instantaneous recognition of another awareness, instantaneous joy, instantaneous experimentation of what could be done to look another awareness straight on and to see the different temperances, the different tones, the different makeups, and to realize that different awarenesses were beginning to have different attributes made of different vibrations and different identities developing as they had experiences. It is an experiential universe, and the learning of love is one of the main things that as an individual experiences, they come back to their own nature of all being one and of compassion and loving.
When the original subdivisions were taking place, were they all created with an identical template, and then they evolved their template through their experiences with the others? Or were they created so they had different templates?
There were different templates depending upon the logos in which they found themselves. Yes, they took on the characteristic frequencies of the major locals that they were a part of, and it gave them outcomes that were particularly brought about by the availability of the original template of that particular logo.
So it sounds like even before there was a physical universe, there was a non-physical universe of divisions, subdivisions, subdivisions of pure energy forms. Is that,
yes.
That's accurate?
Yes.
Yes. Another question is, in the early sessions we did on this, it was indicated there were five universes. I believe that was correct. Is that
yes.
still correct? Yes. Does that mean there were five, one infinite creators, or was there one infinite creator that subdivided into five, and each one became the creator of their own universe?
Yes. There was one being of which all are made, all of the universes.
Mm-hmm.
And each universe became a major subdivision and began its own journey.
And were all these universes created simultaneously, or were one was one created and then went on to create another one?
It was not exactly simultaneously. At first there was one, and then it began to coagulate the energies in a way that set it off from the others.
Mm-hmm. And is there any interfacing between these universes?
There is some interfacing. There is an energy connection between them. And there are some beings in those universes that can get together and talk with beings in the other universes and compare notes to how things are done and how that particular universe is faring.
Mm-hmm. And do beings ever leave one universe and incarnate in another, or appear in another?
It is not likely that they would, although it has been done for an extreme wander to isolate out from one universe and find itself in another.
Thank you. And did all these universes end up having the same problems as exist in our universe? Or did some turn out better?
There are meetings concerning the differences in how they turned out and are turning out, since it is a work in progress. And some of them have different problems than others, but majorly they have a similar major problem that once an individual isolates out, then they still feel all of the need of love and all of the love of the one, and it is hard to reconcile pile the physicality or the manifestation. The unilateralness of the separation, and they remember the love of all and still expect that, however, they're experiencing separation, and it is a juggling act to learn how to love the other as oneself when one is so separated. And they all have that similar problem, is all of the individual parts are learning the importance and the truth of love.
Now, as I recall, you know, there are a number of places in our universe, in things we know about, where I've read that there was life to start with. There's the Andromedans, Andromeda galaxy, the Pleiadians, the Lyrans, and perhaps more. In which area of our universe did life first start?
Always conscious. And as you become more attuned to that fact, you will begin to recognize that even the rocks, even the paper, even any manifestation of objects has a consciousness. And as you become more aware, you can become open to communication from the consciousness of different material things. You are not simply alone, a life form in an isolated world. All is conscious and interactive.
But there is something different about the human template. And when I say the human, I don't mean just earthlings. I mean beings with legs and arms that can think and plan and expand themselves.
Yes.
Where was the first entry of that? I'm using human, but it's not the right word because humans are usually considered earthlings. But the beings that could hold higher awareness than, say, the rocks and the stones.
A great deal of time for development, and the development started with the Elohim and the creativity and development of what they creatively considered would be a viable housing for an entity to manifest in planetary circumstance. And so they developed these housings, and energy beings developed these housings in an energy format. They developed a template. A template that would then express the DNA, and the DNA would then bring to it the genes, the instructions for the writing of the human form. It was a matter of taking the energy concepts and template to the next step would be to bring it into a gene format with each gene having parts to it, chromosomes, that it would be able to format the individual areas of what was in the original template, and then to take the energy format and to gently and carefully, using mathematical formulas, make the DNA, and then within the DNA to make minuscule sub units of instructions, the energies around the model could begin to bring in and to begin to develop a thin, light body form. And the light body was the first thing to be made, and to be made in the template that had been devised as desirable. And many of these were reworked to be more viable in a manifested sphere. There were many mistakes, and it took many years, millennium, to devise something that would be workable and would achieve manifestation. And then without regard to size, to be formatted so that the energies could reproduce in the template, could reproduce. It was a mathematical achievement to bring this through.
I think we're reaching the end of this session. It's about 6:57, and PBS is coming to a close. So we have maybe about 1 minute that you can say something, and maybe we'll do another one of these soon and go a little deeper and further.
Thank you. And we thank each and every one of you. And we make the connection with those that wish to have the connection made. And we extend our love to each of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, all of you. Just a mention, on Thursday, I'm going to be doing a little just networking get-together in the Phoenix area, and I'll send a notice out. But I'm telling you now, if you're interested and you're in that area, send me an email, and I'll make sure that you know about it. And on Saturday, I believe Vaughn is doing a networking potluck in North Hollywood. If you're in the L.A. area and you're listening to this, watch your emails or send me an email, so if you'd like to participate, you can. And on that that note, we're going to close this call. Wish everyone that's listening on the internet and replays a wonderful day. Thank you.